God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today's text is from our Old Testament reading. God is being challenged, in one essence, by his very own people. It almost sounds like a rehearsal from the Garden of Eden, when Satan went to Adam and Eve and said, "Did God really say?" In today's text, we have a similar challenge being made of the people who were trying to be like God. You see, they were upset. And the reason why they were upset is it seemed like the evil people, maybe a better way of describing the evil people would be those who did not believe, were being prosperous. It seemed like God was blessing them, and more importantly, that God wasn't punishing them. Please note that they weren't complaining that God hadn't blessed them. They were complaining about how God was blessing other people. So they were kind of begging the question, you know, why should we be Christians? If I could do a little bit of a paraphrase for today's world, why be Christians if the non-Christians, and especially atheists, seem to prosper just as well as Christians? Now, that line of thought got the people of Israel in trouble, and it would also get us in trouble. So we need a little bit more of Holy Scriptures to kind of explain this to us. Because our sinful nature wants to attach physical blessings to what it really means by being blessed by God. God, however, uses a little bit of a different definition. From James chapter 5, if I may read, "Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." So here in James, God describes steadfastness as being blessed, remaining faithful. And that's what the last Sunday of the church year is all about. Can we remain faithful because Christ is coming? And he is coming again soon. And I will admit, it's hard to remain faithful. It's hard to be patient when something very important is coming. It's almost like children in anticipation for Christmas. You see the Christmas tree going up. You see the lights going up. You see the decorations. And when the presents start appearing underneath the tree, they just get all excited going, "Yes, when is it coming? When is it coming?" And sometimes, because of their excitement, they become disobedient. They are so looking forward to opening up those presents, they forget what they're supposed to be doing, the chores they're supposed to be doing. They forget how they're supposed to behave. Same is true for us as Christians. We take a look at the end of the year, the end of the church year, and we get excited about heaven's coming. And sometimes in that overexcitement, we lose focus about what are we supposed to do here and now. The people of Israel, as they were trying to be patient, were also losing focus. They started taking a look at their neighbors and started saying, "Why are they blessed and why am I not blessed?" And they need to remember what Jesus would be praying in their future time, but still applied to them back then and for us today in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, our Lord says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Martin Luther writes, "What does this mean? God gives daily bread to everyone, even without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving." Here's the answer to the Israelites' question. Why does it seem like the atheists and the evil people of the world are being blessed? Because they are. God gives them blessings. There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is our grumbling about it, because then we are not appreciative of the blessings that God has given to us. Basically, we need to be thankful for what God has given to us, because we indeed are blessed. We should not be going about being busybodies or worrying about how others have been blessed, remembering you are not God. You're not the one that is dishing out blessings. And by the way, since you're not God, don't you be dishing out punishments either. If we try to be like God, going back to that first sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we will fail miserably and find ourselves outside instead of where we want to be. That is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice what our text says about those who remain steadfast, those who remain faithful. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before them of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. And here's this beautiful gospel message in the midst of this. Here's that beautiful gospel message that says, yes, here's heaven. Here's the book of life. Your name is written in it. And as Christians, we do get excited about this. We get excited about being with Christ and being in paradise. And we're looking forward to that last day when Christ does indeed come again. And this is the faithful. The faithful who are patiently waiting for God's promise, who realize that God is indeed blessing them here and now. They're not going to grumble. They're not going to complain. They're going to be steadfast, as James says, and they are blessed. This is what happens when they are remembered for eternal life. God now looks at them as good, as their treasured possessions. Because this will give us a key to why, in answering that question, why does God bless everybody? Bottom line is, God loves all people. God wants all people to be with him in heaven above. God does not want anyone to perish. And so, since God does indeed love the whole world, he does bless the whole world. Even those people who are disobedient, yes. Even those people who don't believe in him, the answer is yes. And we better be thankful that that's the way that God truly does bless. Because if God took a really good look at my own life, he would see that Pastor Bala has a life filled with sin, a life filled with disobedience. Now, can we get past all of that? Through Christ, God the Father can. But now here's the hard part. Can other people get past the fact that I'm a sinner? Just like Matthew Harrison, now president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as he was elected in that position this summer, basically congratulated the whole assembly in saying, "You've kept a perfect record of electing sinners to this office." We need to realize, as human beings, we're all sinners. We all deserve death and damnation. Thanks be to God. He doesn't give us what we deserve, but he blesses it. Let me just change the direction for a little bit, because the closer we get to what we perceive as injustice or an unbalance of blessings, the harder it is. It seems to remain faithful. It's like December 23rd, and the young kids are staring at the tree with the presents underneath it. Let me quote from a very good Christian author, Henry Nouwen, who does an excellent job in challenging us instead of trying to be like God. He writes, "Over the centuries, the church has done enough to make any critical person want to leave it. Its history of violent crusades, programs, power struggles, oppressions, excommunications, executions, manipulation of people and ideas, our constantly reoccurring and constantly reoccurring divisions is there for everyone to see and be appalled by." I take a look at that first paragraph and I say, you're right. We are sinners. We all have fallen short of God's glory. We all have made bad decisions. We've all done things in the name of Christ that were not very Christian. But he continues, can we believe that this is the same church that carries in its center the Word of God and the sacraments of God's healing love? Can we trust that in the midst of all its human brokenness, the church presents the broken body of Christ to the world for food for eternal life? Can we acknowledge that where sin is abundant, grace is superabundant? And that where, if I might add, human promises are broken over and over again, it seems like. But let me continue. That God's promise stands unshaken. To believe is to answer yes to those questions. Now it challenges us. Can you remain steadfast when we see various types of injustices, or what we perceive as injustice, where we see that atheists and agnostics and unbelievers and Hindus and Jewish peoples and Muslim people seem to be blessed and seem to be doing well, and we struggle? Can we remain faithful when people do us wrong and sin against us, even in the church? Can we remain faithful when the office bearers of the church might be the ones that are sinning against us? Can we remain faithful seeing a world filled with sin? And we might be asking, Lord, how long? Can we remain faithful and steadfast? Because doing so knows that we acknowledge that where God's word is proclaimed and where his sacraments are administered, there is Christ, even if all the people around him are evil people like you and me. If we can truly acknowledge this as Nouwen challenges us, then I think we understood the words of Malachi. Then we are now in a position where we understand why God wants to bless all people and why God wants all people to be saved. Because if I truly wanted got the justice that I deserved, I would have to take a look at the cross of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and say, that's my destiny. Because of my sin, I deserve that eternal death and damnation. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through that cross, not with Pastor Bala hanging on it, but with our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Malachi encourages us to remain faithful, to remain steadfast. As St. John's Revelation says in chapter 2, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And in Malachi, we're told that, yes, they received it. Their names written in the book of life, now being God's treasured possession. Yes, there might be many times when we want to despair with the shout of Christ who says, my God, why have you forsaken me? We see the sin, we see the injustice. But these words of Christ were not spoken as a way of challenging God, nor ridiculing him, but were words of obedience. Christ bears our punishment that we deserve. He takes on our flesh and blood so that we would not have to suffer eternally. He dies even though he is sinless. If you truly want justice and what you deserve, we look to the cross. So we close our text and our message with the theme of the last Sunday of the church year, that Christ is coming again, coming to gather those who fear, love, respect, and trust in Him and His promises. God has given you a gift of faith. Remain steadfast. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard and keep your faith until life everlasting. Amen.